everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. Tom, engineering and producing our show. And Tom, the weather looks really good. We had a couple of very cold nights, but that might be behind us.
As far as frost in the area, I think you're right. And we have this nice, slow warming trend over the weekend and should be in the mid-80s by midweek.
Yeah, I can live with that for sure. It is Buckmaster in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Today is Friday. It is the 25th of February, 2022. We are on 1030 Tucson's trusted source for news talk, the call letters KVOI, The Voice. We are now in year 12 on the radio, 34 years into TV and radio in the Tucson market. We have our worldwide live listening and podcasts at buckmastershow.com, our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management, our media partners, TucsonSentinel.com. Thank you, Dylan Smith, Green Valley News, and Saharita Sun. Our thanks to Dan Shear, a Tucson local media group, and its portfolio of publications, including Inside Tucson Business, Tucson Weekly, Oro Valley Explorer, Marana News, Foothills News, and Desert Times. And since Jim Ninsel, the executive director of the Tucson Weekly, is with me in studio, I can thank him eye to eye. Jim, thank you for your support over the years.
Well, Bill, there's nobody we'd rather support. You have done such an astonishing job over your decades here in Tucson.
Into the 34th year.
Yes, and you are a treasure for our community.
Thank you very much. Fletcher McCusker is with us on our live line. Mr. McCusker, chairman of the Rio Nuevo District, the Downtown Tucson Revitalization Board. Rio Nuevo is a tax increment finance district. It's known as a TIF, and that is funded by a share of state sales tax dollars and held accountable to the Arizona State Legislature for use of funds. In 1999, voters approved the creation of the district that allows the funds to be reinvested into the community to create a dynamic city center. Mr. McCusker is credited with spearheading much of the development downtown since moving the headquarters of Providence Service Corporation, a billion-dollar company, which he founded, to downtown Tucson. His latest venture is something called UA Ventures, a venture capital fund designed to commercialize University of Arizona science, technology, services, and products. He is the 2021 Arizona Business Leader of the Year Award recipient, and he joins us on the live line. Fletcher, how are you? How are you feeling?
I'm good. I think this is the first time I've missed an in-studio interview, but I'm fine. I'm testing negative, but it seems like, Bill, everybody around me is testing positive for COVID. So I chose not to infect you and Jim, but I'm feeling fine, and my wife's fine, and we continue to test negative. But it's run through the family now and pretty much everybody I work with. So just when you thought it was over, it's come back in spades.
Yeah, we've probably had you on the TV show and on the radio show dozens of times, and it always has been in studio. So this is our first telephonic interview with you. There's a lot to talk about downtown. 2022 is really a recovery year from the pandemic. The overview, though, looks very positive, doesn't it?
It certainly does. This time a year ago, I think on your show, I was quite concerned about the survival of any of this, Bill. But indeed, downtown's back. Rio Nuevo's sales tax revenue is back about where it was pre-COVID. And, you know, our entertainment venues are back open. The restaurants are thriving. We see a lot of hotel activity, a lot of apartment development activity, a lot of company relocation interest. So it looks like everybody's going to be fine.
Here's Jim Ninsel, The Weekly.
Hey, Fletcher, good to hear from you. I hope that things continue on that healthy path for you. And as long as we're talking about COVID, you know, it was just about 2 years ago that the outbreak hit Tucson. Talk about what you were first hearing from businesses as we saw all those shutdowns and when the pandemic broke out. And, you know, what steps Rio Nuevo took to try to support them.
Thank you for that, Jim. Our revenue in February of 2020 was $2 million. It dropped to zero within the next few months, and that was indicative of our customer base, which are primarily restaurants and retail. Everything, as you suggested, went dark in downtown, and we weren't sure that particularly a lot of these small businesses would survive. So we diverted several millions of dollars into rescue grants long before the PPP program, and we issued grants up to $50,000 to almost 100 small businesses within the Rio Nuevo district. And most of them will tell you that was probably a key to their survival. We did lose some restaurants, some great restaurateurs, of course, Llanos and Susana Davila closed, but the interesting thing about that is that for every restaurant that's closed, there's been a new interest in the space. So everything is back and open, and indeed, I think we've recovered.
And I think, can you just talk a little bit about Rio Nuevo doesn't fund entire projects typically. You're looking to do not discussing the emergency grants you were giving out, but more the way that you try to provide seed money for other projects. And can you talk a little bit about the philosophy behind that?
Sure. With the exception of the Tucson Convention Center, you're exactly right. We have chosen to partner with private sector developers. So every project we've done downtown, I've been on the board now exactly 10 years, over 20 projects. Every one of them, Jim, has a private sector partner, and typically a private sector commercial lender. So it's been able to extend our limited tax dollars about 10 times what we would otherwise invest by inviting private sector partners. The TCC, of course, we own, and as you know, we've invested about $100 million in the revitalization of that. But everything else we've done and will continue to do is to seek out a private sector partner. Most people don't appreciate that Rio Nuevo is exempt from the gift clause prohibition in the Arizona Constitution. So we can and are very aggressive when we provide incentives to private developers.
And it's not just downtown. For instance, the board recently approved $500,000 to expand and upgrade that Ethiopian restaurant that is up on Broadway. And people think of Rio Nuevo as just this very tight, maybe a few block area of downtown, but it's a lot more than that, isn't it, Fletcher?
The geography extends from the base of A Mountain through downtown all the way to Park Place Mall. So indeed, we have responsibility for and income from all the Broadway frontage, the two largest malls, and everything downtown. So we have expanded as downtown has really thrived. We're expanding to the far west side, and as you mentioned, we're expanding to projects along Broadway. Rio Nuevo will now own about 50 properties on Broadway that would have otherwise been torn down, and it's our goal to repurpose them as restaurant and retail.
Would you talk a little bit about the Hotel Arizona renovation? This is the HSL Properties. They have presented a concept to renovate the Hotel Arizona, and this is something that's been talked about for years. Where is that now?
It's been approved by Rio Nuevo recently. In our most recent meeting, the city of Tucson has approved it, and we're pleased to announce that hotel is becoming a Hyatt. They're reducing the total number of rooms, but will expand and renovate the entire property. So that's an important piece of the hotel picture downtown, and of course, it's immediately adjacent to the TCC. So with the Hyatt opening and the DoubleTree on the south side, Hilton a block away, you know, we now have four coming with the One South Church property, new hotel properties adjacent to the Tucson Convention Center. And, you know, when you talk to Visit Tucson, they will tell you it's been a game changer, Bill, for convention interest in Tucson.
And is there plenty of parking now available?
We're building two new parking garages. That's added about 1,000 spaces. One is done. The second one will be completed here in April. So there is more parking. I think we're always going to be a little bit challenged downtown for parking, but there's a huge interest in hybrid conventions that they may have 5,000 people in person and 10,000 people online. So we're really having to step up the technology associated with the TCC. Right now you can barely get a cell phone signal, but that will all be 5G, 6G wireless, high-speed internet capable. Phone app is being developed. We're going to use augmented reality for wayfinding. I think people will be proud if they haven't visited it lately. Come down and see the new TCC.
I have in front of me the artist or the architect's rendering of that renovated Hotel Arizona. And then I guess there is a newly designed, there'll be a senior living facility right next to it?
Yeah, with the old parking lot has been demolished, and that's their intent, is to build the residential units primarily for seniors. There's a lot of interest in downtown residential right now. The Flynn is opened to great reception. The Rendezvous, we're seeing more hotel and apartment developers coming in side by side.
Jim Nintzel.
You know, you mentioned the apartment development and the transformation that we're seeing in the downtown area. And you know, critics will often say that you guys are just giving handouts to developers and you're contributing to gentrification in the downtown area, and it's hurting the existing families down there. And I just wanted to give you a chance to address those critics.
I think if you talk to any of our developers, particularly those that are out of town, they will tell you they would not have developed in downtown's core without some incentives. Every other community competes for their attention, and you know, even with Tucson's attributes, we haven't been competitive. So we level the field, and indeed we're very aggressive to developers. The overlay zoning we did on Broadway incentivized affordable housing for the first time in the city, for the first time in Arizona. We included density incentives if you want to integrate affordable housing. We don't want to see public housing complexes, but we do believe that there should be an integrated component of affordability into any market rate apartment. And developers will tell you, Jim, they're not going to do that without some incentives. So, you know, we're going to have to incentivize that. We're going to have to give them what we call density bonuses to add affordable living. And there seems to be plenty of demand for what is now the highest rents in all of Pima County. So developers are following the demand, and lenders are following the developers.
So the convention center, going back to our convention center, is the project pretty much now completed? And how many square feet is it? Are we talking about like 20,000 square feet of meeting space has been added?
Yeah, actually 25,000 square feet of new meeting space. That was designed to be open for the gym show. We didn't quite make that. We got caught up in some of the shipping issues with glass and some other things to finish off that project, but it will be done here shortly. In addition to that, as I mentioned, we have the two garages. The water features have been restored in the plaza. The exhibition hall has been totally renovated. The music hall has been totally renovated. So it's our state-of-the-art facility. You know, as you know, the original Rio Nuevo was going to build a new stadium. That was a fool's folly. We've chosen instead to renovate the one we have, and I think audience participation will tell you that people are very excited about the new venues.
Wasn't that plan, going back to some of those original plans, didn't one of them kind of look like a turtle for a new convention.
I think it was called the Tortoise Shell Arena.
Yeah, yeah.
Because the top was going to be designed like a desert tortoise. they estimated it would cost $80 million. The low bid was $190 million. So obviously that never got built. That's just one of the boondoggles we inherited when the state took over Rio Nuevo in 2010.
What were some of the other crazy ideas? Wasn't there a Jim and Fletcher a bridge like to nowhere or something?
There was a rainbow bridge.
A human-made rainbow bridge that was designed to replicate the real rainbow bridge in Utah that would span the freeway. There was going to be a 250,000 square foot science center, IMAX theater, an aquarium, an Indian village. It was just one crazy project after another. And, of course, they all fell in on themselves when Rio Nuevo ran out of money.
And if I recall correctly, Fletcher, there wasn't that much money to begin with in the early years of Rio Nuevo. It originally was somewhere in the neighborhood of $100 million that was going to be available over the life of it, and it got extended later to allow more tax revenue to be collected.
Well, what they did to augment that was issue bond debt. So when we took over Rio Nuevo, there was $180 million of bond debt. So they just leveraged themselves to the hilt and then wasted all that money. They had about that much income, and then they had the money they borrowed. All of that was basically wasted.
Was that the University of Arizona that was running that at that time?
They were a partner with the city of Tucson in the Science Center. And then also on that property, which is where Caterpillar sits, was going to be a science center, an Indian village designed by Caucasians from Kansas, an aquarium, and an IMAX. They were going to restore the 19th century convento that was part of the Santa Vera Mission Complex.
But how close did the legislature come to just saying, we're pulling the plug on Tucson's Rio Nuevo?
The irony of that was the debt. I think that was the intention in 2010 when the famous Odell headlines broke that Rio Nuevo had spent $230 million and had nothing to show for it. The legislature was in session during that time, and they, particularly Maricopa County lawmakers, were determined to shut it down. However, there was almost $200 million of debt. So the notion was, well, maybe we could leave it around long enough that it could pay down some of that debt. So the irony of that is the debt is probably what kept them alive. And then, of course, the state changed out the board. We now report directly to the president, the speaker, and the governor, and our projects have been private sector driven, not museum driven.
All right, we're going to pause right here. Fletcher, hang on the line. Our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Jim Nensel with me in studio from the Tucson Weekly. Right now I want to talk about my favorite bakery, not only my favorite bakery, but my go-to bakery when I need a little bit of a comfort food boost like I had this morning up at Mona's. We had I had a beautiful quiche with cheese spinach and cheese. It was just absolutely delicious. And Jim, I had a giant chocolate chip muffin. That's something it sounds like your two kids would have just been fighting over.
I'm sure they would have. They love their sweets.
I know they do. Mona's Danish Bakery, open right now for lunch at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Open for breakfast at 6:30. We'll see you up at Mona's. Check out what everybody's excited about. There are actually people waiting in line when they open at 6:30 for their bakery goods these days. Mona'sDanishBakery.com is the website. We'll see you up at Mona's, and we'll see you right back and talk with you right after this break. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. To prepare for ongoing project delivery, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for a new draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary. Home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Our Friday Focus interview today, Fletcher McCusker is with us, the chair of the Rio Nuevo District Downtown Tucson Revitalization Board. And Jim Nintzel is with me from the Tucson Weekly in studio. And one thing, Fletcher, that we were talking about, some of the crazy projects that were put forth, one of the good things that did come out of that was a lot of infrastructure for downtown, correct?
Indeed, they invested in some land acquisition, some cable, some sewer and power. They kind of forgot about the A-Mountain landfill. We're still saddled with, you know, a 30-acre methane-producing landfill over there, but it looks like we might have the resources now to remediate that. So, yeah, it was kind of a mixed bag, I guess. They invested in a lot of boondoggles, but they did invest in some infrastructure.
You said there's a method. What? How much money would that take to clean up that area?
$1 million an acre.
$1 million an acre, and how many acres?
It's 30 acres, so it would need $30 million to remove the methane-producing trash. We know that because we had to do that for the 8 acres that Caterpillar sits on. That was also part of the old landfill. And nobody seemed to tell the voters when we all approved that, you know, in 1999, that all of those fantasy properties were sitting on an old landfill.
Yeah, that was a real tragedy, the way that that there were no linings in those days. They just poured the trash into this hole near Tucson's birthplace,
then backfilled it with dirt. So the only way to resolve that is to dredge it out, and that's where the $1 million estimate comes from. You literally have to scoop out the dirt, put it in a dump truck, and take it to Los Reales. And for the 8-acre parcel that Caterpillar sits on, we did that 15,000 times. 15,000 dump truck loads.
15,000 runs to the dump site.
Yeah. So that will be alive someday. It obviously hasn't been a priority for us. It's been unaffordable. But, you know, property values are such downtown now where the cost of remediating that land is becoming the cost of the land. So we'd be happy to work with people to activate that space. We're very, connected to the neighborhood there in terms of the need for open space, the need for historical representations. We do think there's a mixed-use master plan that could accomplish all of that on the west side of the Santa Cruz River.
And Fletcher, I we were talking about hotels and your work to build new ones, but we've also seen some money go to the Hotel Congress recently to help them with some of their aging infrastructure, and now they've got a new jazz club open. Can you talk a little bit about the project there?
That evolved after they came to us to help them finish out some of their infrastructure problems. That property is exactly 100 years old last year and had sewer issues and plumbing issues and electrical issues and structural problems. So we began to help them with that. And then I credit Shana basically for the idea to convert the copper room, which was primarily a rarely used banquet space, into what is now an unbelievable jazz club. Very New York style sit down jazz, which has been very well received by professional jazz musicians, but also very well received by the community. So that turned into be a real success story. And again, we love investing in food and beverage, and we think that's going to continue to attract people downtown.
And I know you're a big music lover. I think that's part of what got you involved in the Fox initially, and that was, I think, along with moving your business downtown, sort of your entree into downtown activities. And I know you've recently opened a downtown. I don't want to create any kind of competition here between the frequency we're on and your own, but I know you've recently opened up a your own radio station in downtown and outside of Rio Nuevo, of course, and just want to ask you how that's coming along.
I'm walking the talk, Jim. You know, I believe in downtown. I've invested a lot of my own time, money, and effort downtown. That space where Providence was originally located, they moved the company to Atlanta after hedge funds bought it out. So it was vacant. And, you know, we fell upon a radio license and recruited Bobby Rich and Jim Arnold to help me put an oldie station back on the air. So it's a tough business, as Bill will tell you.
Yeah.
But we're having fun. And it seems to be pretty well received by our generation, and again, it's another labor of love, and contributed to a preservation of a downtown building.
Well, I got to visit with Ken Carr down there to deliver his Best of Tucson for his Best Twitter feed, and it's just a wonderful facility down there.
You know, One of your other loves is this UA Ventures, and we've talked a little bit about it in the past, this venture capital fund and some really interesting projects that were in the pipeline to commercialize kind of University of Arizona science and technology and bring it to the marketplace. Did the pandemic pretty much put a halt to all of that?
It indeed slowed us down. The premise there, and it's been an honor to participate with President Robbins in this effort. Historically, the University of Arizona has always been a premier research university, but it hasn't really commercialized those research products. So Bobby's intent, and the reason he recruited us to get involved, was to further that research into products that could be commercialized. So 3 years ago exactly, 3 years ago March, we invested in 15 such U of A spin-outs with the idea that they could be commercialized. COVID hurt those. It shut down the labs. It shut down a lot of the, acquisition interests. They have all survived, and we're seeing some outsider interest from very large companies that have learned about these technologies. And knock on wood, we think we're going to prove up that concept here in the next few months.
I remember one of the projects that really sticks in my mind. We talked about this, about a substitute for opioids. It was a painkiller that really had very few side effects. That still, I hope, is in the pipeline, Fletcher McCusker.
Very much. It's a drug called Regulonix, invented by a U of A pharmacologist. That young man is now the head of NYU's pain clinic. He became quite prominent during the process, but the company is based here and the drug discovery is based here. And, anytime you try to advance a drug compound, that's a multi-year, multi-million-dollar effort. So it has proven efficacious in animals, and, we will help them move that to human trials. And as you suggested, it is a non-addictive alternative to opiates, and it may be the most important drug discovery ever in the U.S., maybe in the world, and it came from a lab at the University of Arizona.
Wow. Oh, go ahead, Jim.
Oh, I was going to say, so your operation here is separate from the Tech Launch Arizona operation.
Yeah, we're a private fund, so we have investors, I think 55 investors at last count, that have pooled our money to advance University of Arizona products. So we take a small position in these companies. They're typically discovered, if you will, by TechLaunch Arizona. Most of them have some sort of patent, but they've yet to prove up their concept. So we're coming in behind that, investing in these faculty inventions, and then helping them take them to market.
All right, we are out of time, but we did have Felipe Garcia, the new head of Visit Tucson, with us a week ago today for our Friday Focus interview, and he was talking about how the UNESCO designation of the City of Gastronomy for Tucson has been such a game changer. What impact did that have on the revitalization of downtown Tucson?
Their early visits were all downtown. When we were being considered for that nomination, everything from the Mission Garden, which is, historically accurate, to our use, and particularly Janos's use, of native seeds and native foods, and the number of indigenous cultures that have combined to make Tucson's food unique. We were the first, city in North America to receive that designation. San Antonio now has a similar designation, but it really created a lot of interest in Tucson as a food destination. And, we got lucky early on, 10 years ago, by focusing on food to be the major attraction downtown. And clearly, looking back on it now, we look a lot smarter than we probably were.
All right. Fletcher McCusker, good to touch base with you. Hope you will stay well, you and your family. Thank you very much.
Good afternoon.
Thanks a lot.
Care.
Fletcher McCusker with us. Jim Nintzel and I will talk some more right after we take a break in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at VeroAmorePizza.com. Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
Discover your world inside Biosphere 2. Explore living, breathing scientific research. Using the new Biosphere 2 Experience app, you can now explore one of the wonders of the world's amazing 30-year history and future through never-before-seen videos and photos. Visit today at info@biosphere2.org. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Our thanks to Fletcher McCusker. Always a great interview. Jim Nintzel's with me from the Tucson Weekly. It's always good to catch up with Fletcher, and he always gives us a very concise, very transparent report about how things are going downtown.
He does. He does. And, you know, a lot of people still complain about Rio Nuevo. I think what Fletcher did with the idea of and his board with the idea of providing some seed money as an incentive to developers rather than trying to fund the entire projects has worked out really well. And certainly before the pandemic, you saw downtown having so much momentum. And now he's saying that the tax revenues are back up where they used to be. And while, as he pointed out, we lost a few really spectacular restaurateurs, there's still a real buzzing scene down there, and people are getting out and still going out and still eating. And, you know, I'm happy to say it sounds like this, although Fletcher mentioned he sees a lot of people who are getting that COVID. We are seeing those cases dropping in our community and across the state, and that Omicron wave seems to be fading, thank goodness. And
yep.
I'm just happy I can get my 5-year-old vaccinated, and all my kids will be protected
Good.
Who knows? Maybe a county fair visit.
There you go. There you go. GOP Senate candidates. These are Republican candidates who want to unseat Senator Mark Kelly. That was kind of funny. And you've got something here, and I'm looking at it at the TucsonWeekly.com. The candidates can't seem to spell Tucson correctly.
Yeah, this was a really amusing one. That you had Jim Lamone, the businessman, and he's the one who put out the ad where he was shooting at Mark Kelly.
Great. I mean, that is so bad.
Astonishing. Yeah. That somebody didn't say stop.
Stop doing that.
Someone in that campaign didn't recognize how bad an idea that was. sent out a text where he was boasting about opening his Tucson office, but he managed to misspell Tucson. Sent out a tweet where he managed to misspell Tucson in the course of congratulating his opening of his Tucson office.
T-U-S-C-O-N.
Yeah, we see it all the time, right?
Yeah.
And then he got tweaked by Tim Steller over that. And then also Blake Masters, who's the guy who works for Peter Thiel, mm-hmm. Of Thiel Capital, mm-hmm. is trying to buy a few Senate seats in this latest round of elections. And he actually tweaked him because he's from Tucson, and he explained to him carefully in a tweet how to spell Tucson.
And don't tell me he misspelled it.
Then he sends out a statement of organization for his campaign and manages to misspell Tucson on that. So we reached out to get a comment. Did not hear back from the Masters campaign.
That's going to be a lot of money spent on that campaign. Kelly's really got a huge war chest. He unveiled his first, Mark Kelly unveiling his first TV commercial. I haven't seen it, but I understand it kind of, it's trying to harken back to his humble roots.
Yeah. I think Mark Kelly's certainly known for being a NASA astronaut. He's certainly known for being the husband of Gabby Giffords, who is happily recovering. Every time I talk to Gabby, she seems sharper than the last time I talked to her. So I'm really, mm-hmm. seeing her making that comeback has just been wonderful over the last 11 years. I don't think as many people know about, his work with U.S. Air Force or U.S. Navy combat pilot. Before he was an astronaut.
They just think of him, Mark Kelly, the astronaut.
Right. They don't, and they certainly probably don't know, of his growing up in New Jersey as the son of two police officers. So I think they're trying to make sure that people are more aware of his biography with these ads and introducing him and trying to define him before he can be defined by the opposition.
It seems like this session of the legislature is so top heavy with lawmakers trying to control what goes on in the classroom and what they say is voter reform.
Right. And the education stuff is just the things they're doing are just horrifying. The legislation they're proposing, when you're reaching a point where you're talking about having people sue teachers because they're unhappy about what teachers are teaching in the classroom or mm-hmm. posting all their lesson plans online for the entire year. You can't change up what you're teaching through the course of the semester to adjust to current events.
Requiring teachers to disclose if a student says anything to that teacher in confidence, to disclose that to the parents.
Right. It's just putting teachers in this impossible legal jeopardy.
No wonder it's hard to recruit teachers.
It is. And, as somebody who has two kids, one in second grade, one is going to be starting kindergarten I don't want to see all the good teachers driven out of the field by these absurd bits of legislation. I mean, you had a Republican lawmaker calling teachers educational terrorists last week at the legislature, and it's just the reluctance to get this override pass the legislation like that would allow them to spend the money.
To get that approved.
We've spent the last year talking about how important it was to have kids in school, you know, how terrible it was that these pandemic steps were taken. And I agree. I mean, I think kids should be in school. I think that it's, it is extraordinarily challenging to be able to hold down a job and monitor your kids' online learning. So having kids in school, incredibly important. But to then turn around and be like, well, we're not going to give you the money and we'll let you close early, you know.
And if you're a young teacher, and we've talked about this with our educator contributors, and you're looking at different states to, you know, relocate to, and you see all this stuff, you do a Google search on Arizona legislature and education, are you going to want to come to a state like Arizona and what they're seeing out of Phoenix?
No, you're not. And that's, you know, you want to recruit your best talent to be in the classroom. The teachers here are terribly underpaid, even after the efforts to give them that 20% raise that Ducey drove after the Red for Ed movement. But things have definitely changed. There's a lot of frustration among parents because the kids were not in classrooms for so long. And that did drive some negative attitudes towards the educational community, but it's really unfair.
All right, Jim, we are out of time.
What?
I know, it goes pretty fast. Jim Nensel, we want everybody to kind of go to the TucsonWeekly.com, and of course, there's still the hardcore version of it.
No, that's right, print edition, hitting the streets. So
you had a pretty good edition about the arts.
Spring Arts was 48 pages just last week, and then this week we're focusing in on some of these voter suppression laws that are floating around the legislature.
Make sure that every ballot has a watermark.
And we're going to count them all by hand within 24 hours.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Jim Nensel, thanks. Have a great weekend, Jim.
You too.
All right. Weekend Watch coming up next with Matt Russell right after this.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority. At Tucson International Airport, we're nonstop supporting jobs and prosperity as an economic engine for our entire region. From an innovative and touchless passenger experience to earning the GBAC Star Accreditation, the golden standard for cleanliness, our team is ready to welcome you back to Tucson International Airport. Begin your journey with us. We're nonstop for you, Southern Arizona.
A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is starting to review projects submitted by RTA member jurisdictions for consideration for the next RTA plan. The committee will consider plan goals and performance factors as they move into the selection process. The RTA will seek public feedback on the committee's draft plan when it is ready. Learn more about plan goals and sign up to stay informed at rtanext.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org. All righty then, time for Weekend Watch. With Mr. Matt Russell, Weekend Watch is presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Time to start planning for your getaway. Just a 3-hour drive over to Silver City. Boy, they're going to have a really nice weekend, and next week looks really great. Temperatures in the low 70s, great weather to go out and do some hiking in the Gila National Wilderness, and then kicking back at a great place to stay. And there are some really nice places to stay. You can find out all about Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico by going to their website, southwestnewmexico.org. Let's welcome the longtime host of Weekend Watch, award-winning Tucson publicist, Inside Tucson Business food and beverage columnist, Mr. Matt Russell. Matt, how are you?
Well, I'm in a bit of a TGIF state of mind. What about you, Bill?
Doing real well, and I know you got out the old rodeo gear, the old, you had the black hat and the chaps and everything. I know you wanted to get into rodeo. You wanted to get into it, but some of that rodeo gear that you've had for over 20 years just doesn't fit anymore.
Yeah, the chaps are getting a little tight, but as you said, rodeo action this week across Tucson continues. One of the epicenters of cowboy and cowgirl culture is Trail Dust Town on Tancoverde Road, where they're going to be hosting rodeo nights tonight at 5 o'clock in celebration of Pinnacle Peak Steakhouse's 60th anniversary, if you can believe it.
Wow.
Festivities include horse rides, amusement rides, gold panning, of course, live music and the gun show, and lots of food and drink specials both inside and outside of Pinnacle Peak. I call it the international capital of the mesquite-fired cowboy steak, and you know me, Bill. I always go for that big cowboy, a nearly 2-pound cut, so
oh,
I'm going to
try
on over to Trail Dust Town tonight.
They call that the gentleman's cut, I believe, of meat. That's a big piece of meat. And speaking of anniversaries, you mentioned Trail Dust Town, another well-known dinery. Very, very...
Indeed.
Yes, big time coming up here, 100
Indeed.
Years.
Indeed. Yep. El Charro, mm-hmm. celebrating their 100th anniversary all year long. And the celebrations continue this weekend with the official release of their Cerveza of the Century. Now, this is a commemorative beer custom brewed by Tucson's Dragoon Brewing Company. It's a Sonoran amber with hints of brown sugar, caramel, and dried fruit, all balanced by roasted malt flavors and a touch of smoke. I'm hearing it reportedly pairs well with Charro beans and quesadillas, and it's available now at all Charro locations. I'll drink to that, Bill.
Mardi Gras time.
Season once again, the Tucson Mardi Gras Festival is coming to the Slaughterhouse on West Grant Road all day and night tomorrow. Plenty of beads and crawfish and Cajun cuisine to go around, plenty of hurricanes, a Mardi Gras parade. Admission is completely free with upgrade packages available for food and drinks and VIP seating, as they say, let the good times roll.
And in the Tucson Business, Inside Tucson Business column.
Yeah, well, 4 years after the Food Network ran episodes of Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives featuring Tucson restaurants, these eateries are still experiencing higher than average business because of it. So what are the chefs themselves saying about this lasting legacy? Well, you can read all about it in this week's Inside Tucson Business.
Great weekend to you. Thanks, Matt.
Cheers, Bill.
The Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, which is wholly responsible for the content of our program. Be well, stay safe, and I hope everybody has a terrific weekend.